Joining me in the studio now is Charles Brown. He's the executive director over the Oregon Coast Humane Society. And a couple of things. You issued a press release earlier this week about the weather and animals in the cars. We'll talk about that in a minute. But let's see how are things going now.
Things are shaping up very nicely at the shelter. We just had our board of director elections, added two new members to the board that we think will bring a lot of value to the mission going forward. We're kind of coming out of the COVID slowly but surely. Adoptions are still plumping along there. We do ask folks call to make an appointment for an adoption, just to keep the social distancing as much as we can. The other thing is we're also still very active with our pet food pantry. We still have a lot of folks, and I think going forward we're going to continue to have a lot of folks coming to us for a little bit of extra support feeding their pets and pet care. We have a Sarah Fund, for instance, that offers usually about $100, maybe $200 for folks that have that are unable to afford vet care for their pets. And just over the last 3 months, those requests have been ticking up on a pretty regular basis. Obviously, anytime that there's a disruption in the economy, and certainly we're experiencing that now, children and pets often suffer. And so we're here to try to, be the stopgate for the pets.
Are you fairly full now at the shelter, or is it kind of emptying out?
So this is kitten season, which is a glorious time of the year where lots and lots of kittens come into shelters all across the country. So as far as our cat and kitten population, we're pretty full. Our dog population is incredibly thin. Right now, as of this morning, there's actually no dogs physically at the shelter.
Really?
We have a few that are in foster care right now, but our adoptions for dogs have been just incredible. And I think that's a Florence thing. I see just this is a huge dog community. I mean, all you got to do is walk downtown and you see it. And I think that's one of the big reasons that the canine overpopulation problem is not a problem here.
Do you think some of it might be, people home alone, people having to stay home?
Absolutely.
And need someone around them to kind of keep them company?
Yeah, a lot of shelters, including our own, have done great with the adoptions and the fostering just for that reason. Mm-hmm. It's better to foster or quarantine with a buddy, we say.
Yeah, that's kind of a cool thing there, though, that you don't have any currently in the shelter. So since dogs are out, and we see a lot of dogs downtown, your press release the other day talked about the weather and the warm weather. And, people don't think necessarily – I mean, people that have lived here a long time do. I don't necessarily think of this as warm weather here on the coast. But, a sunny 68, 69 degree day can mean a lot in your car.
Exactly. And, I'm glad you mentioned that because, I'm coming from Hawaii most recently where, folks, it's real obvious to folks not to leave their dog in a car. But here you do get false sense of security. 68 degrees of nice breeze. You're thinking, oh, it's not a problem. A 68 degree car with the windows up, even if the windows crack, can jump up 20, 25 degrees within just a couple hours.
Especially with some direct sunlight.
Exactly.
And if you have a darker car, even probably worse.
Everything starts to retain that heat.
Yeah.
And every year across the country, dogs, and I will say kids too, are accidentally left in cars. This is just one of those times of the year where it's really important to have that up in people's minds.
Well, and even so with animals, it's kind of hard to forget your animal when it's a dog.
Absolutely.
Because they let you know they're in there. So a lot of people, do that consciously,
Absolutely.
Think, and that's kind of a sad thing. But what happens if, I know in the press release you mentioned what to do if you see a dog in distress in a car. Talk a little bit about that.
So one of the things that, I personally, strongly recommend is if you see a dog in a car that's in distress is simply to call 911. And again, we live in a fantastic area where the 911 service, you're going to probably have an officer within moments of that call. There is a provision in the law where folks can break a window. Now, the caveat to that, and I mention it strongly, is if the animal is not in legitimate peril, then you are responsible for any damages that you cause. Having said that, if the animal is in life-threatening peril, you are not responsible for any damages.
What are some of the signs? I mean, how do you know if a dog's in life-threatening peril?
Absolutely. And you know, and the same signs are whether you're in a hot car or, you know, this is also the time of the year where we're going hiking and we're doing things outdoors. And, you know, it's funny to keep in mind, but just like people, dogs get out of shape. And, you know, when those nice days start and you think, oh boy, I'm going to take, you know, my best friend on a, you know, 5 mile hike, they can overheat very quickly. So the signs for overheating: panting, excessive panting, excessive saliva coming out of the mouth, bloodshot eyes, obviously lethargic. When it reaches the point of the animal being lethargic, not able to get up, that's super critical. And that's the time that you really do want to start trying to bring the body temperature lower on that animal. Cold water bath is one of the most effective ways to quickly bring down the body temperature, focusing kind of under the armpits and on the stomach where there's not as much hair. But heat stroke and heat exhaustion is a real deal with animals. And certainly in cars, it gets to that point so quickly that the body does not adjust to it, and it causes fatalities.
Now, you mentioned taking your dogs on a hike or taking your dogs for a walk. It's not so bad here, but what about hot asphalt and hot sidewalks, too, affecting the dog's pads?
Absolutely. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, everybody kind of forgets about that. We have the luxury of shoes, you know, and you know, the dogs do not. They have great pads, but black asphalt can get to 130 degrees by 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And again, if you're a dog or a kid without shoes on, that burns. Blistering, infections. You know, we really want to be cognitive of those environmental factors.
Yeah, we mistakenly, I mean an old past of mine, mistakenly took our dog for a walk in Sedona in the middle of summer, and we found out very quickly, we could just tell with the way he was walking,
sure,
that his pads were affected. So we took him off the street right away, you know. But yeah, you don't realize how hot that stuff can get.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what about, how are you guys set for, you know, I don't know, for not for finances necessarily, but do you guys need any help? Do you guys need volunteers? What's the situation?
So we're definitely always looking for volunteers, especially down at the thrift shop. With COVID, a lot of our volunteers are kind of in a high-risk category, so we have had a drop-off. So we're definitely looking for folks that are willing to come into the thrift store and sort and work the cash register. It's important to note that that thrift store generates a huge amount of our revenue. We don't receive tax dollars. We don't receive funding from any national humane society. It's all done right here. And the thrift store, I think, is a unique win-win opportunity for us and the public. We always need volunteers at the shelter. One of the things that we are starting to revamp, and they were working on before COVID kind of hit, and that is a TNR program, trap, neuter, release for cats. We alluded that, you know, we've done a really good job. The community has done a really good job with the dog population. What we do have here is a pretty significant cat overpopulation problem.
And feral cats
and,
as well.
And feral stray cats. You know, we're looking at what we would consider community cats, meaning nobody really owns the cat, but everybody kind of looks out for the cat.
Does anybody really own a cat anyway? I mean, you know, and there's, that's the joke, you know.
And there is truth in that. Yeah. And so what we're looking at doing is really recreating that TNR program, and we're really looking for volunteers for that. We're going to announce a community meeting, so anybody that's interested can come in and discuss how to be part of the TNR program. The first meeting we're going to do probably through a Zoom, and then the next follow-up meeting, it'll have to be an in-person, but we'll try to conduct outside at the shelter. Going forward, like I said, addressing the cat overpopulation problem is going to be one of the major tiers that the Humane Society takes on.
Something that, you know, some people might not think about, and this might be good for those listening, if you're a college student that has been home, you know, you're a good candidate for volunteer, right?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that, and I've done historically other places, you know, if you're a college student or you're just, you know, temporarily laid off, having volunteerism on your resume looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. And you can use us as a reference, just like a regular job. You know, so absolutely, when you have downtime, whether it's due to, you know, education lag or even just because of a COVID slowdown, we offer an opportunity to keep busy and give back to the community.
So how can people get a hold of you for more information or to volunteer?
So we, you know, our website, OregonCoastHumaneSociety.org, is a great place to start. Certainly our Facebook page where we're constantly updating happenings. And you can always do the old-fashioned way and just get on the phone and give us a call.
That'd be great. Charles Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Up next on this edition of Our Town, Mayor Joe Henry, Megan Messmer, talk about the state of the city a little bit.